It's kind of like when you move into a house and, you know, the first thing you do, you unpack and set up your bed so you can sleep there that night. And you might not get all the boxes unpacked, but that means every single week you come to church, it's just going to keep getting better and better. So we'll have a good time there. And God's given us this building for a reason. The purpose of this Max Life series, talking about living to the max, is for us to regroup back to the basics here as we get ready to move back to our home base of operations, and with the purpose of going out into the world around us and making more and better followers of Christ. That's what this series is about. But before we get on to the message today, we've got some other important business, truly, that we need to take care of. January 22nd, as you may know, is the anniversary, a tragic anniversary, of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to legalize abortion in this country. And so the Sunday before, every year, millions of people in thousands of churches around our country take some time during their Sunday service for reflection and for prayer over the tremendous cause of life. And we're going to pray in just a moment, but I want to encourage you to get out onto Facebook, if you have Facebook, this week, maybe later on today. At 1 o'clock, we're going to publish a video. It's just a little teaching video that I put together. It's not fancy. It's not really meant for sharing with people. It's meant for us, for shoring up what the Bible teaches about life, all right, and about the sanctity of human life. And so I wanted an opportunity to talk about it a little bit. And so there's this 10-minute video that'll be up there. Please go and watch it and take action. Take action. It's the kinds of things we share about time and time again here at Stoney, standing up for life, especially the life of the most defenseless among us in our country. And so what I want to do now, though, is appeal to the one who can change everything at any time, our Heavenly Father. Will you stand with me for prayer? And we're going to pray together before we move on here. Let's pray. Gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, we have failed you, Lord, in this country. We have failed to protect the sacred life that you've given us, to treat the image of God with respect and value and dignity that it deserves, because it was given that dignity by you, God. Lord, we deserve judgment over this, but we pray for your forgiveness. We pray for your grace. We pray for revival to sweep across this nation. I pray that hearts and minds would be opened up to the reality of abortion, that it is the taking of an innocent baby, a human life, not removing a part of a woman's body, but snuffing out the life of a defenseless baby. Lord, may we wake up and see that. And may we change our laws. May we change our hearts and our practices. Lord, motivate your church and other people around this country that see the truth to rally around women in crisis pregnancies, to support them and love them and encourage them to protect that life. Lord, break the hearts of those abortion clinic workers and doctors. May they repent and turn to you. And Lord, we know that just as we need Jesus to forgive us, and he can and does, we know that his grace is waiting for anyone who will turn to him. And so I pray our country would turn to you, and I thank you that you are our gracious, gracious Heavenly Father. Teach us to stand up for the cause of life and sweep revival across this nation, Lord. We pray, we beg you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Check out that video there. It's really from a teaching I did last year. I just thought this is so good, but I didn't know if I could get away with plagiarizing myself so quickly. And so I figured out a way to get this important information out and sneak it in anyhow. Please take the refresher. All right. Well, let's get into today's message, maximum effort. You want to get your outline out of your program and get ready to take notes as we move along. And turn your Bible to the letter of Ephesians. We're going to be in there a lot today. I'm just kind of warning you, so you can get your finger there or your smartphone app there. And we're going to be bouncing around a little bit. No particular passage to get to yet, but you'll see as we go. So, our Lord Jesus gave his followers, the church, an incredible mission. Our mission is to change the world, to advance God's kingdom. And when I think of that mission, at times like this, where we're getting back into our building, that's just fresh on my, you know, renewed fresh on my mind, I confess sometimes I think, can I really do that? Can I really do what Jesus expects me to do with the time I've got left? You know, I don't know, I'm just one guy. But then I remember this analogy that I've heard before about a snowflake. Yes, Randy, a snowflake. One snowflake isn't really that big of a deal. It might be nice to catch on your tongue, but it's not very powerful, can't really do much. But you get enough snowflakes together, and you can whip a snowball at your youth pastor. All right? You get enough of these guys together, and you can build a snowman. You get enough snow together, and you get my kid's favorite, second favorite, you can go down some sweet powdered hills in your on your skis, if you prefer, like I do, because I can't balance on a snowboard, or on a snowboard. Or then there's my kid's favorite, you could even get school canceled if you get enough snow together, all right? And so, much to Randy's dismay, I am encouraging us today to be a church that is a bunch of snowflakes. Okay, nobody booked it for the door yet. Okay, stick with me. Well, welcome to part 3 in our series, Life to the Max. Here's what Jesus told us. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it to the full. Jesus offers life to the max here on earth and into eternity. Now, we've been studying for a couple of weeks here. We started with studying maximum hope. And that hope is the life that Jesus offers in relationship with him when we put our trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We come into this life. And we studied our maximum support. This is the stuff we need most to grow. And it came down to a connection with Christian living, a connection with God through the Bible and prayer and with his people here at church in fellowship and community. But now we're going to go even further into that. We're going further on and further up here. And we're going to be exploring our maximum effort, all right? Our maximum effort in living for Jesus and changing the world. And like the snowflakes, we're stronger together. That's what it comes down to. The Apostle Paul wrote it like this in Ephesians chapter 4. He wrote, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. All right? The church in the New Testament is called the body of Christ. In this way, we're Jesus' hands and feet, his physical presence here in the world, his body. God's desire for us is to be Jesus to the world, together as a church, to help his kingdom advance. And Jesus designed us to have maximum effort in being able to do these things when we work together, together with the Holy Spirit and together with each other. It all comes down to our main idea. You want to write this down? We're going to start with it, and then we're going to unpack it, all right? It goes like this. To commit to Jesus' body to maximize growth. Commit to Jesus' body to maximize growth. growth. Our personal growth, all right, our growing ourselves in our relationship with God is maximized. Growth of our brothers and sisters, when we're committed to Jesus' body, we're helping to maximize our efforts to see our brothers and sisters in Christ grow and to see God's kingdom grow in the world. Our efforts to do that are maximized when we're committed to Jesus' body together. All right? And so we're going to dig in, but first let's define what I mean by committing to Jesus' body. You see one of these arrows here, and on the back of your program, we've got four of those. This is our discipleship process here at Stony. And there's four words that summarize it for us. They're just the buzzwords that help us focus. And each of these steps helps you to know, you know, what's next? Where are you growing? Where are you going to in your relationship with Christ? It also helps us to have this process as a church so that we know, hey, when we do this ministry, it's helping people move in this direction, all right, toward fuller maturity in Christ. And our third step in that process is to commit to church or to commit to Christ's body. What does that mean? Well, committing to Jesus' body or the church is when we decide to be counted on as a family member. We've made an official decision. You can count on me as a family member here at church. Partnering with the church to do our mission under godly leaders, we still receive all the benefits of connection. That's the stuff we were talking about last Sunday. But it's going even further because now we're a contributing teammate to what's going on here. We're helping other people to connect as well. But here's the thing about committing to church. This step in our process, this step in the max life, is one of the more difficult ones for a lot of people. A lot of people are afraid or hesitant to make this commitment to church, especially to a local church body, and that's what we're talking about in particular. And that's because maybe they've had a bad experience in church before. They've been let down by a pastor or a congregation in the past. Maybe it's because they want independence, or maybe it's because they're longing for the perfect church. And I can tell you, as long as Chris Bordeaux's at Stony Creek Church, until Jesus comes back, you're not going to get that here. And so I hope you'll just get over it and not be waiting for the perfect conditions, okay? You just won't get it while I'm here. That's all I can promise you, all right? For others, it's a lack of time or, you know, not wanting to make that commitment for fear of accountability. I can make a commitment, but then you're going to hold me to it? You know, I don't know about that. Maybe it's because of lousy teaching that they've had in the past. You know, some pastors just haven't taught the people in their care, their flocks, the importance of commitment to the church body. Even worse than that, even worse than not teaching well about it, is it's become popular among a lot of Christians, even Christian leaders, authors, teachers, pastors, to actually bash the church. You know, sometimes it's in the sake of, in the name of reaching non-Christians. Oh, yeah, you hate the church? Oh, I hate the church, too. Yeah, they're a bunch of stupid people, aren't they? You know, and you think you win points or something. We're going to see. That's a scary place to put yourself. And all of that serves to undermine this importance of committing to the church. And so here's what we're going to do today on our outline. I'd like us to clear all the obstacles that might stand between us and fully committing to Christ's body. We're going to try to clear those obstacles away by looking at four compelling reasons for church commitment. All right? And the first one that I'd like you to write down is this: Jesus is committed to you. Jesus is committed to you. In his letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament, Paul writes all about church life, all right, what it's like to be in the body of Christ, all right, with your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And there's this tender passage in chapter 5. It's explaining how husbands and wives ought to relate to one another and how they ought to treat each other. And within that, he's using that as a picture of how Jesus relates to the church, calling the church Jesus' bride, all right? The church is Jesus' body, but also Jesus' bride. That's another picture that's used in there. And this is what it says about Jesus and the church. Look at this, starting in verse 25 there. It reads, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy,
cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. As you look at those words, it tells us something about the church, doesn't it? It tells us the church has problems, doesn't it? I mean, the church needs to be saved. The church needs to be made holy. The church needs to be cleansed. It says the church needs to be washed in the word. It needs stain remover and de-wrinkling in here. It says that in there, you know, without wrinkle or blemish. But this passage also reveals something about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus is committed to do all of those things for his church. Jesus loves and is committed to you, to his church, to this church. He loves her. He died for her. And he continues by the power of the Holy Spirit to make us better and holy and cleansed. And he's de-wrinkling us every day. All right? He's working on us. He's committed to us now and into eternity. My wife, Leah, doesn't need too much de-staining or de-wrinkling, in my opinion. You know, I think she's just right. But I know she's not perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. But I love her, and I'm committed to her all the way. And if someone said to me, you know, Chris, I really like you. You're a cool guy. I like hanging out with you, Chris. But Leah, just if you could just never bring her around when you come around, that'd be good with me. We've got problems now, all right? Leah and me, we're a package deal. You can't have one without the other. I love my wife. I'm committed to my wife. Hey, I know she's not perfect, and maybe she even did something that was offensive to you. All right? That's possible. She's a human being. That's weird that she'd be the one that messed up and not me. But let's imagine a scenario where that happened. And you said, Chris, I have real problems with your wife. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to help you work that out with Leah because I love her. I'm crazy about her, and I want you to be crazy about her too and see what I see. And so I'll be right there to help you reconcile with her if there's problems, even if the problems are on her end. We'll work on that. Well, hey, it's the same with Jesus and his church. They're a package deal. They're a package deal. We can't say to Jesus, oh, you're all right, Jesus, but I just can't stand your wife. So just, I don't want to be involved with her, but you and me, we're tight. No, we can't do that. Wanting Jesus but not wanting his family, that's not what Jesus wants. You're literally saying, Jesus, I want you, but I really don't want what you want. Do you really want Jesus? Because his wife comes with him. If you have a problem with her, Jesus says, I know she's not perfect. I'm working with her generation after generation. I'm helping de-wrinkle and de-stain. And the church is filled with people who recognize we need a Lord and Savior. So we're going to have problems, even big ones, even big ones. But Jesus says, if you've got a problem with my bride, I want to help you work that out because I'm crazy about her. I'm committed to her, and I want you to be committed to her and to love her too. I want you to see my bride, my beautiful bride, the way I do and be committed to her. Jesus is committed to his church. He's committed to you if you're a part of the church. The second compelling reason for church commitment, number two on your outline, is that it's necessary for growth. It's necessary for growth. We read Ephesians 4:16 earlier. That's what I would call our max verse today, that we're all joined together as each person is doing its part as Christ designed. We're growing up. But let's back up a little bit and just read a little bit more of the context here. It reads, and there'll be times where you can help me out. We're starting in verse 11, and you'll see some yellow print up here. And that's your cue to jump in with me. In fact, I'll read along with you on the screen. Here we go. It says in verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach all unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and we become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, instead speaking in truth, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole, and here's our passage, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Someone might say, I like Jesus, just not organized man-made religion. Well, I don't like man-made religion either, and I like Jesus too. In fact, I worship Jesus. I literally worship my Lord and Savior. But part of worshiping Jesus is recognizing that he established his church. He organized his church. He organized it with leaders, shepherds, pastors, teachers, evangelists, so that the people would be brought together as a group, as a team. And the purpose, it says, over and over again in that passage, we highlighted a few of them in yellow there, it's so that we would be built up, so that we would grow. Jesus established the church the way he did and set them up with clusters, and we've got pastors over a flock and elders and overseers and teachers and evangelists. And it's also that we'll grow, so that we'll become mature, it says, so that we'll attain the whole measure and fullness of Christ, so that we won't be spiritual infants that are just susceptible to corruption and evil persuasion in this world. And boy, we've got a lot of that in our culture. He's saying, no, Jesus organized it for us to be huddled together under godly leaders to help us grow. That's vital. It's necessary for growth. We cannot be a severed hand. You know, it's using this body imagery of connectedness by each supporting ligament and each body part doing its work, right? We can't just like chop off this hand, throw it over there, and expect that it would grow. It's going to fester and rot and get smelly, and the custodian is going to have her work cut out for her having to deal with that, and the police later today. Why there's a severed hand on the ground? No, we need to be attached in order to grow. In another letter to the church in Corinthians, Paul writes it like this. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, hey, I don't need you down there. You know, the feet would say, well, how are you going to get where you want to go, head? You know, without the feet. No, we need each other. And Jesus, this is the important part here. Jesus made it that way. He made it that way. It's more than just being connected and getting what you need. It's also being committed to being what other people need. You know, I need you. You don't just need me. I need you. It says each supporting ligament is doing, and each body member is doing its part so that everything is getting built up. And so we move from just being connected to the body to being committed to the body. And we see that here. You know, church membership, being committed at a church is different than like a gym membership. All right, there's a difference between the two. I got this analogy from Ken Leslie, so you can thank him later because it's really good. Here it goes. What's a gym membership? You pay your dues. You go regularly, maybe. Some people pay their dues year after year and don't actually go to the gym. But it's January, so I've been seeing a lot more people at the gym this month. You know, we'll see what happens in February. But you pay your dues. You go to the gym regularly. And, you know, you work on yourself. And it's some benefit to you, right? But here's some things you don't do. If equipment is broken, well, you expect somebody else to fix that. That's not your job. You're there to work out and complain when the equipment is broken. That's your job as a member of the gym. If you're working out next to somebody, you don't really, you know, go out of your way to connect with the person working out next to you. Guys, if you're doing that, she thinks you're creepy. Just back off, all right? No, you focus on your own thing. You go in, you take a shower, you get back out, all right? That's a gym membership. Now, what if you were a co-owner of the gym? Everything would change. You go in, and now you see that there's a spill on the floor or that a piece of equipment is broken. Well, you fix it, you clean it, you take care of it. You take, you know, pride in this gym that you're running, that you own, and you care about it, and you do what needs to be done to keep it running. You're a part of owner of it, all right? If somebody's working out and they're doing it in such a way that you think they might hurt themselves, you go over and you say, hey,
I'm Chris from the gym here, and I just noticed that you could hurt yourself doing this, so you got to adjust a little bit. You actually do care about the other people that are in there. You know, church membership is more like ownership, all right? It's having ownership of the church. It's being committed and saying, I am part of what's helping, you know, other people and ministering to other people. And there's examples of this everywhere you look. If you just went like this right now, don't do it because it'd be a big disruption. But if you did that, you'd see as many people as are in this room, you'd see just about that many examples of people who understand what it means to be committed to the church. And I love it. You know, we have 54 volunteers in our kids' ministry. I know Jody was asking for more volunteers, and they need them. They need them because there's 7 different age groups. You need about 2 people per age group, so that's 14. We've got 2 different services, so that's 28. And if you don't want these poor people to have to be there missing Randy teaching every single Sunday, you know, you need to get a rotation going. Plus, there's a Wednesday night group and check-in. So there's lots of needs. But the point is we got 54 of you guys are committed to our kids, to my kids. And I love it, and I appreciate it. I'm so thankful to you for giving your time. We've got our praise band, our tech crew, our road crew. Today especially, you know, just thankful to our road crew being out there in nearly 0-degree weather. We've got our hospitality team, our ushers and greeters, our finance team, our security team. We've got our cleaning team, and they've been keeping up the building, the offices, even while we've been mobile, making sure that I have toilet paper and a clean bathroom during the week. I appreciate that. And there's been construction workers using the bathroom all week. And so I'm just saying they've maybe had a little more work for them. Sorry, Chuck. All right. And who else do we have here? We've got our youth staff. We've got our small group hosts and leaders that are committed to the people that they're welcoming into their home. We've got our marriage small group led by the Horns and their helpers. They're committed to helping these folks. We've got Chuck. I'll lift you up. I tear you down, I lift you back up, Chuck. We've got Chuck giving of himself and even his company toward this building project. We've got people that, even if it isn't on the book somewhere as a ministry, people are committed to each other. I think of Jim. I'm not going to say his last name because I don't want you to hit him up for this and for him to get busier. But like, he's in a lot of your houses fixing your heating and cooling. You know who you are if you've called Jim, all right? But he's committed to his family. He loves them, and so he's there and he helps. And again, I'm not trying to get him more busyness. So if you don't know him, tough, all right? But these are people that care about their brothers and sisters. They're committed to their brothers and sisters. They're committed to them. And I see it all around me. And that's what being committed to a church is all about. I see it with the youth group helping me with various projects around the church. I see it with accountability partners. Maybe you're meeting with somebody in a coaching relationship or accountability. You're committed to that person's growth. You're one of those body parts that's helping the rest of the body, feeding it, giving it its nutrients. You know, we couldn't do what we do here at Stony Creek Church. Humanly speaking, we couldn't do it without the whole church coming together. Randy and Ken and Jody and I, we couldn't put on church. Not the way we do it here every Sunday. We need each other. That's just humanly speaking, but it goes even further. You know, that's the Holy Spirit doing that through us. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. This is the Holy Spirit's design. Jesus set up the church, established it to be an organized place of committed people. The Holy Spirit has infused us with gifts to help each other and to contribute in that commitment. And this is what's going to lead to growth. All right, we got to get to another compelling reason for church commitment. Let's get to number 3 on our list, and that is it builds character. Commitment builds character. That's really true anywhere. That's really true anywhere. But it's certainly true here when you're committed to the body of Christ, to church. You see, one of the hardest things to deal with in any relationship is a disagreement, all right, when you're having an argument with somebody. I mean, more than 15 years of marriage, Leah and I still have our hard times and our disagreements. Sometimes it takes longer than I would like for us to resolve those things, but we get there. I'm happy to say we eventually get there, all right? Every time we work through an argument, a disagreement, a struggle, Leah and I are stronger on the other side. Our marriage is stronger. I know how to love my wife better. She knows how to love me better. And we are a stronger marriage because we worked it out, because we got to the other side of it successfully. The Bible teaches in the context of the church, look at this, Colossians 3:13, we're commanded, bear with each other. He's talking about in the context of the church. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievances against someone. If we're not committed to something, we might cut and run. If we're not committed to a church, we're kind of just passing through and, you know, it gets a little tough or somebody lets us down and that's going to happen. Remember I said it's not a perfect church here at Stony? I'm going to let you down. If you're not committed, we can cut and run at any time when disagreements arise or other hard-to-handle issues. But when we're committed to church, well, we need to deal with this conflict because we don't want this to keep going on. We have to get to the other side of it to find God's peace and God's unity. We got to fight for that. And every time we do, friends, our church is stronger on the other side of it. We are stronger on the other side of it. In Romans 5, it says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Every time we go through something hard, but we do it. We go through it. We depend on the Lord. We do our best, and we get to the other side. We are stronger. Our character is developed. If I mess up and you help me correct course, I'm better for it. But you're also better for it. Because you did that work to help me get through that, you've conformed more to the character of Christ. He's always having to forgive me and put up with me, all right? And when you do that, you're joining in, behaving more like Christ. Your character is growing. I'm happy to do that for you, by the way. I'm happy to let you down on purpose over and over again to help you build your Christ-like character. You're welcome. Now, I want to say very briefly that the Bible does warn against apostasy. All right. There's times where you got to say, okay, this church is going in a weird direction. There might be doctrinal apostasy. That's teaching lies about the foundational truths of Christianity. There's moral apostasy. That's when a church is just endorsing sin and is okay with it. All right. At those times, if you've tried to help your church, you know, find out their error and correct it, but it's just not happening, well, then it might be time to unplug from that particular church. But then go find one that is teaching the truth and get committed over there, all right? Okay, well, let's look at the final reason that we're going to look at, compelling reason for church commitment, and it's this. Number four is very simple. It's where you belong. You belong here. Paul writes it like this, back in Ephesians again, but this time in chapter 2. He said, you are a member. He's talking to believers here. Talking to believers, he says, you are a member of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. This passage reminds us that a church is God's family, and that we belong in a household, a particular household, with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it also teaches that a Christian that isn't in a committed church, that isn't going there regularly, that isn't plugged in, and committed is like an orphan. That's what he says. You belong in this household, but if you're not, well, what does that make you? But God wants so much more than that for Christians. He wants every believer to be plugged into a home church, a home family of God, where he is committed and receiving the benefit and contributing to the benefit of his brothers or her brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, some people might say, well, I am committed, Chris, to the universal church. You know, all believers everywhere, alive and dead, I'm committed in that way, not to a particular church. And I want to push back on you for a minute here. How exactly does that work? How can you be committed to the universal church but not committed, you know, to a local tangible church that's right there next to you? I mean, I can't look at my wife and say, I'm committed to the idea of marriage, Leah. Just not any particular marriage. Just not any particular spouse. My wife is a karate expert, and I would have some kind of spin kick to the back of my head before I even got those words out. All right? She knows that was just an analogy and not my true feelings. Okay. Yeah, you can't do that. You know, commitment to an idea without an actual real expression of that commitment isn't really a commitment. You know who said that? Randy Rehm. You're thinking Chris Bordeaux. No, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I just worded that the same way because I was like, hey, I like how you put that. No, our commitment to the universal church is expressed through the local church, where we gather together under the pastors and teachers and leaders and evangelists that just the way Jesus organized it. Just the way Paul said Jesus himself organized it. Now, you know, it doesn't need to be this church. Say, that's a weird thing to say, Chris. Well, hear me out. I want every believer to be plugged into the particular church where God is calling them to be committed. If that's here at Stony, jump on board, and I'm going to tell you how in our last couple minutes here, how you can jump on board with that. If it's not Stony, that's okay. Maybe you're just visiting, and you're welcome here. We love to have you, but you want to find the church that you want to be committed to. I also know the Lord moves us around. You know, I've been youth pastor here 14 years, and I have mentored a lot of young people that have been then called off to other ministries, maybe in college or after college. And I know God's working at all these different churches. It's awesome. That is the body of Christ. And wherever they go, I want them to get committed there. Go plug in. However they show commitment in that church, jump on board with them and be committed. But hey, if Stony is the place for you, I want to close by talking about how you can commit to this church. All right? Let's close with that. The first thing, and it's the last three things on your outline very quickly. The first one, first and foremost, commit to Christ. Can't commit to a church until you commit to Christ first, okay? We talked about this on week one, but if you're not a Christ follower, this is step one, and it's the biggest commitment you will ever make in your whole life. More important than, or bigger than your commitment to church, bigger than your commitment to your wife or your kids, is your commitment to your Lord. Do that today. All right, it's admitting that you're a sinner who needs God's forgiveness, confessing that to God, repenting, that means turning away from living the way you were living apart from God and turning to Jesus, putting your trust in him as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to talk with somebody about that or pray with somebody about that, we've got our designated pastoral prayer team down here after the service. We got to pack stuff up. I can't wait till we don't have to pack stuff up immediately after service next week. But we do that today, but that's why we've got this pastoral prayer team. They don't have to pack, all right? Don't fold any chairs if you're on the pastoral prayer team. Stay here and pray with people. So come down and talk with somebody if you need to talk or do business with the Lord. Second step is to get connected. We talked about this last week, and I just want to say, if you're a brand new Christian or if you're new to Stony Creek Church, don't just jump into commitment right away. Get to know us, all right? Get to know us. Attend our 9:30 teaching time. Plug into a small group. We are developing new small group material. That's what Randy's been working on the month of January here to get us ready. In February, we're launching this new small group series. If you've never been in a small group before or it's been a long time, get plugged into one of these groups that are doing this. And you know, interact with people. Rub shoulders with people at Stony. All right? Consider, you got to get connected before you can get committed. And so plug in with people. Read about our mission statement, our beliefs. It's all on our website in the About Us section. Learn what we believe. And then step three is become a member. Become a member. Church membership is based on biblical principles. In the early days of the church in Jerusalem, they kept track of people who were officially in or out of their local congregation. You see that in Acts. They made lists and kept records. People had to think twice before joining the church because it required a commitment, a severe one back then. And so it said, oh, they wouldn't dare be counted among their number unless they were like sold out. And then they would cross over and say, count me in. We express this commitment here through our membership process, all right, through our membership commitments. And the way to become a member here at Stony is to take our membership class. It's called the Exploring the Creek class. We learn about what this church believes. We learn about what our mission and vision are, we're organized, our structure. You get a copy of our constitution, and you get to learn all about us, all right, before you make that commitment, that decision to commit. And I want to tell you that membership is no joke here at Stony, all right? We just learned in the last service at our teaching time that God is always about count the cost, okay? And so I'm going to throw up three outlines of our membership commitments just to scare you away from taking our next class. And these are them, but you know what? It's what the Bible tells every believer to do, but it's still very high. Number one is to endeavor to progress in obedience to Jesus Christ. We expect every member here to be sold out for following Jesus, and we're going to hold each other accountable to that, all right? It's to commit to participating in ongoing ministry. Membership means ministry. You're on the team, all right? And every member is to be committed to meaningful ministry. There's opportunities. There's that kids' kiosk out there you heard about. I know that our cleaning team needs new people as we're moving back into the building. You could maybe fill out a connection card if you're interested in more info on that, and I can get Lana connected with you, our cleaning team director. But there's all kinds of other ways to serve. We've got a human resource director, Francine Barba, who helps people take inventory of how God built them. You know, God's given you different experiences and talents and gifts and abilities and passions to make you just the right fit for one particular area or some particular areas of ministry. And we'd help you find that. Don't just plug in. If you're a round peg, don't go into a square hole. Find what God's calling you to do. I want you to be the best body part you can be in this body of Christ as we're building each other up. And of course, we attend regular services, and I would say small groups too, so you're plugging in and connecting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, our next Exploring the Creek class, I'm putting the dates out there, and I've even got a space for you to write it into your program, because I want you to take a real tangible step in this, guys. If you've never, hopefully if you are a member here already, this has just bolstered that commitment. Like, yeah, that's right, that's what I'm committed to. And I hope that's what you got out of this, because this reminding ourselves of this increases our effort, our max effort. But if you're not a member, hey, I want you to take this practical next step, all right? And so here we are, Wednesdays, all the Wednesdays in March. We're going to be doing the class on our Wednesday night. We're going to reboot the connection night. There's even a meal before. You're going to love it. And the class is great. I teach one. Randy teaches a couple. Scott teaches one. It's going to be great. And I encourage you to take it. Mark your calendar for the class. Commitment to Jesus. Commit to Jesus' body to maximize growth. If you want to maximize the efforts that God wants you to put into your life to grow in Him, to reach out to others, for this church to reach the community around us, it comes through commitment, officially signing on, jumping on board. And this is how we express it. If you're not a committed member at Stony Creek Church, will you commit? Will you commit to what God is doing here? I hope you will. Let's stand together for some prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Stony Creek Church. This is the church that shared the gospel with me. This is how I met you, and I thank you for them. We were attending at this school at the time. And Lord, you've continued to advance your kingdom through this church. And so I thank you so much for the good things that you're doing here. I thank you for the people you've brought here that have heard the gospel, that have trusted in Christ and crossed over from death to life, that have then gone on to plug in and even become committed members. And now they go out and they share the gospel and they serve their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're a part of the team. Lord, may we continue to grow and see your kingdom advance in this way. Maximize our efforts as we commit to you. We know that you are certainly committed to us. And Lord, if somebody is here that needs to commit to Christ in the first place, to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray they would not leave here this morning without doing that right now, that they would know that they are now a child of God because they've put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I pray they tell somebody about that so we can rally around them and encourage them and pray for them in their new life in Christ. We love you, Lord. Bring us safely back home to our building on Van Dyke next week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.